Happy Mother's Day, everyone. My name is Dan Jarvis, one of the pastors here, and I am glad you've joined us on this day. And I wanted to give a special shout out to all ladies who are in the church, whether you're a mom or not. Everyone who is 16 and up can take a chocolate rose and a little plant from our display over in the gym. And so a couple guys asked me earlier today, like, how could we get in on those chocolate roses? So, well, stay and help clean up, and maybe you'll get lucky. We'll find out. But we're really glad to be able to bless you ladies today, and we're very grateful for all of you. Today we're talking about kindness. This is the second week of our kindness challenge. And so in that context, we have been thinking about how to define being kind. And just to kick it off today, I wanted to ask you how you define kindness. What do you think it is? It's interesting. I know it when I feel it, right? Don't you? But then if you say, what's the definition? You might have to, think about that a little bit or Google it or run it through ChatGPT or something and figure out, well, how would I say it? For me, the better than trying to attach more adjectives or something to it to figure out what it means is just to think about when I felt it and then unpack it from there. And I don't know how many of you remember when this happened. This happened to me. And to Melissa. And that was 6 years ago now. Triplets showed up in our lives, and that was, I'll just say, disruptive to our norms. That was crazy. And it still is a little bit crazy, but it was a lot more crazy back then. A lot of you remember this era. I was trying to pick some pictures that weren't quite Instagram ready because our lives were not Instagram ready for most of that time. Once in a great while, you catch everybody smiling and it looks like, perfection and joy and all that. And most of the time it's crying, it's diapers, it's dirty bottles that need to be washed in the sink. It's lots of late nights and lots of early mornings and no sleep in between and all that stuff. So while we were experiencing that, and by the way, there's Melissa, and as you can kind of see from that picture, they are a handful, right? Which here's what's crazy. I'll be at the store even now. And people will remind me. They'll be like, hey, that's really a handful. I'll say, I know. Would you like to help with that? Telling me that, I already know that. I'm living with them. They are a handful. But we have lots of joy, lots of fun. And when I think about kindness, I think about how our church, how you responded to my family's need in that crazy moment 6 years ago. So, there was probably a year and a half time when it was super crazy, right up before they were born, then they spent a bunch of time in NICU. And then once we brought them home, there was just so much to do, and it was quite overwhelming. So when I go back, and Melissa and I talk about this sometimes, like how would we, did we even say thank you to everyone who helped us? I don't know. We were so tired that year. We probably left some people out. There was so much help that came to us. There were meals, there were rides, there were people that stopped by, they'd bring us a meal and they'd say, well, we could come in and hold the babies. And we'd say, well, great, you could come and do that. And they would help us with whatever we had there. If you ever come to my house kind of unannounced, you'll find out that we have there's a clean laundry mountain in our living room and a dirty laundry mountain in our garage. And it's never really done. It's just, where is the mountain today? It rotates between. And so sometimes people would walk in, they'd bring a meal, which is like blessing number one. They'd hold the little kids, they'd encourage us, that's blessing two. And then they'd sit down on our couch next to the clean clothes mountain and say, would you like us to stay and fold this? Absolutely we would, yes. So we had great fellowship time around that. And in fact, sometimes when I recount this scenario and how many layers of help, I kind of get overwhelmed by the math. So when we found out we were having triplets, someone in the church helped us upgrade our house to be able to fit in our house. Then, because we had to move out of our house while that was happening for a short period of time, someone else in the church lent us their house where we moved our... And remember, this is not just the triplets. I have seven other kids. That's lots of crazy going on all the time. And so the church was just amazing for us during that time. Sometimes when I speak in other churches or other contexts, I'll share about this and kind of brag on all of you about how amazing our church is and how kind everyone was. And I'll tell the story about the laundry mountain. And there's a basket usually at the bottom of that laundry mountain where all of the clean socks go. and no one wants to do that job. And so a lot of times the clean sock basket just kind of gets moved around. Somebody, you say you're coming over to our house, and part of cleanup is move the sock basket to the guest bedroom so nobody sees it, but you know, it's just always there, and it's never finished because there's a lot of socks. So there was someone in our church, I won't give away her name, but there was someone in our church who said that they actually enjoyed matching the socks. Said, yes, that's a dream come true. Come anytime. And they did. And they would come and they would sit and they would match, you know, hundreds of socks. And so I look at that as just kind of a premium. You know, we had to let go of all of our pride about, oh, we don't need help. We had to embrace it, help any way you want to. So this wonderful woman who would fold all of our socks and match them, I'll tell the story of this happening, and I'll say, you know, there was a lady in our church that even folded our clean sock basket. So I was at another church nearby here, someone in this community, they came up to me after the service and they said, what's the name of that lady who likes to do the socks? I said, no way, I'm not giving her name up. You have to find your own, you know, clean sock lady or whatever. I'm not giving her up. So you know who you are out there. Thank you for being there for us in that. I still think of that person as sort of like an emergency backup plan. Like if things got really dark, if the mountain just got overwhelming and the socks were overflowing, I think, well, at least I know there's one person I could call and maybe they'd come back and help again, right? So kindness comes to us in lots of ways and shapes and forms. And if you think about your life and someone who's been exceptionally kind to you, that probably informs your imagination of what kindness looks like, right? That would help you with your definition. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the scripture at how God is kind to us. We'll look at that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We'll evaluate what that means, and I'll tell you ahead of time, this is one of those things where you might say, well, I think I already kind of know what kindness is. If you would be willing for the next 15 minutes to just embrace this conversation and meditate on kindness through the Bible, I don't think you'll learn something new. Like I'll say something, I've never heard that before, but I do think that you'll come out the other end of this conversation with a deeper, richer sense of how you can be kind as you follow Jesus, okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through and say, how has God been kind? How does God lead the way for us to be kind? So we'll start with a verse that we read last week, but I want to read a little more of it this time that frames the conversation. Okay, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So our kindness is, it's not just about you and I being kind compared to that person next to us. You might be able to do that. You could find a bad comparison and go, yeah, I'm sure I'm kinder than that person. But the Bible calls us to be kind the way that God is kind. Okay, it's to literally imitate God in everything that we do. So how has God forgiven you? How is God merciful? How is God compassionate? How is God attentive? How is God good? That's your target as well. You would say, Lord, with the love you've poured into my life, I now want to give that same kind of love to other people. Say, well, I look up to heaven and go, how would I even know how to do that? Well, the next verse says, live that life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So you open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. You read how Jesus treated people, how Jesus cared for people. And you say, okay, Lord, in your grace, by your strength, that's what I want to become. I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be kind the way that he was kind. Okay, last week we talked about the fact that you read through those gospels and you see to every kind of person Jesus was kind, right? Not just to the ones who were nice back, not just to the ones who were sort of acceptable culturally. No, he would actually go right to the people who most others would reject and be especially kind to those people. So again, as his followers, as his disciples, we would pattern our thinking the same direction. We say, Lord, that's who I want to be. So how do we get there? Hey, last week we also talked about this, that kindness to everyone has to start with kindness to someone. And probably, if you meditate on that a little bit, you'll think of who that someone is. It's not the person who's the easiest to be nice to, right? It's sometimes it's the person who would be the easiest maybe to stay away from. And you go, you know what, as a follower of Jesus, I don't run away from those kind of people. I move toward them. So I want to be kind to everyone. Part of the challenge that we're walking through is very personal, where you would look at an individual that you're close to, someone in your family, someone at your workplace, someone at your school, and say, I want to be kind to them on a daily basis. Okay, so that's part of the challenge. And of course, we gave out the checklist of different practical ways you could start extending kindness to others. Last week, I introduced the tools that can help, so you can go to Life Group and converse about this, kind of go deeper into the study of kindness with your group there. There's also a book you can read that's available out in the Welcome Center if you'd like to get into some of how kindness really does empower you to be a witness, how kindness makes a difference in relationships. So there's lots to learn. We're also kicking off some church-wide kindness projects. So it's, you know, individually, you and I, we're supposed to be kind all the time. But it is a lot of fun to link arms with other people and be kind together. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, I think that sounds like so much fun to do that. So we have four different ways we can approach it. I'll walk through the first of those challenges at the end of the service today. But here they are. Over-the-top blessing, that's what I'll talk about a little bit later. Then words of encouragement next week. We have a fun way for you to engage with that. Then sharing some possessions. You will get to pick which possessions. We won't tell you which ones, but sharing possessions will be the week after that. And then giving blood, if you're able to do that, we have that lined up for the Monday after Sunday the 1st, where you can sign up and give blood. There's already registration for some of those things in our churchwide email. So hopefully, prayerfully, not only will we very individually learn some kindness, but we'll also practically just learn how to think like a giver, think generously. Say, even to people we don't know, people we may never meet, we want to be there for them with the love of God. Okay, so today's plan here, we're going to open up our Bibles, and I encourage you to have a Bible in your hand, all right? So either the one that's under the seat in front of you or your Bible app, go ahead and get that open, because we're going to read some text today and explore the kindness of God. So we'll meditate on that, and then we're going to ask God how we could imitate him, because that was what the first verse we read said to do. Imitate God in everything you do. We want to be kind and forgiving and loving the way that God is. So we'll study that a little bit, and then it's not enough to study it. We have to step forward into it. Say, okay, Lord, how do we live it? So what the Bible teaches about God's kindness is that his kindness is related to other of his attributes, his goodness, his righteousness, his grace, his faithfulness. You could go through a systematic theology book and kind of categorize out the attributes of God. Some of them have to do with like how God functions as far as like his power and his intelligence, things like that. And some of them have to do with his character, like his love and his grace and his truth-telling and things of that nature. So kindness, you could almost put that on top of some of those characters and say they're all sort of interrelated. But in just common parlance for you and I, when we say, well, how is God as a person? We say he is amazingly kind. And that kindness is not transactional in the sense that, like, if you're good enough, he'll be nice to you, or if you earn it or you really get religious, he'll be kind. No, the kindness is already there. It's there when you didn't even ask for it. It's familial kindness. It's the kind of kindness that you didn't deserve it. Even if you are a good person, you still don't deserve it. It's not about deserving. It's not a transaction. It's the fact that he actually loves you. We're going to start in the Old Testament, which of course was originally written for the most part in Hebrew, and there are multiple Hebrew words that can be translated as to kindness. All right, kindness, love, faithfulness, goodness are sort of all related concepts. So we're going to take the Hebrew word that might be the most prevalent when it would come to describing God as kind, and one that would often in the Old Testament be translated as kindness, depending on which English translation you're using. But that's chesed, all right? Go ahead and say that word, chesed. All right, you got to say it with authority, even though none of us probably know exactly how to say it the way an ancient Hebrew would have. We say, well, we'll give it a college try here, and we'll say chesed. And that is his steadfast love. It's not just sort of a random act of kindness style. It's not just like, oh, wow, he's so nice. This is covenantal faithfulness. This is enduring love. This is him reaching out to people and caring deeply for them. And so when we read about God having chesed to his people, that's a deep familial love. That's kindness as a way of thinking in life, not just sort of an act of kindness. It would be a whole mentality of kindness. Okay, so go ahead and look up in the Bible, Exodus 34. And this story that we'll read a little snippet of, the story itself is an example of how kind God is. So when Moses led the people out of Egypt, you remember the Red Sea parted and a whole bunch of amazing miracles happened, and he led them to Mount Sinai, and he went up into Mount Sinai in the clouds and the smoke and the lightning. And what did Moses receive on Mount Sinai? Anybody remember? He received the law, right? The Ten Commandments. So Moses comes down from the mountain. I don't know how exactly it looked, but, you know, the movie, the big tablets there, he's coming down, probably pretty excited to share, like he's just met with God and, you know, seen all this evidence of God's glory and truth, and he sees the people all camped down at the bottom of the mountain. And what were they doing? Were they eagerly waiting to hear God's law? No, what happened? They had already turned to worship idols. Like they'd already given up on God and they were heading in a different direction entirely. And so what did Moses do? I mean, he's holding these big tablets that are directly from God. He sees them worshiping an idol, and what's his reaction? He gets so angry, he throws the tablets down and they shatter. Okay, so you could say this is kind of game over. Like the whole big plan of leading the people into the promised land, like all of this just shattered there on the ground, like covenant's over. Well, it wasn't, because God's love, his covenantal faithfulness, is there even when people aren't faithful back. So we get to Exodus 34, and here's what's happening. God has given them another chance. And so even though God could have walked away in all holiness and righteousness, he could have said, forget it. Like, you don't want this? We're not going to do it. But he loved the people. He chesed the people so much. That he goes to Moses, he offers them an opportunity to do all of this again. So here we pick it up, verse 1. Then the Lord told Moses, chisel out of stone two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Be ready in the morning to climb up on Mount Sinai and present yourself to me at the top of the mountain. No one else may come with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Do not even let the flocks or herds graze near the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two tablets of stone like the first ones. Early in the morning, he climbed to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with chesed, filled with love and faithfulness. I will lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren, the entire families affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. Which there you have that sort of a holy tension between God's amazing love and willingness to forgive when people are not positioned for that, or nobody's deserving that. And yet at the same time, he's saying, I'm not letting it go. We're preserving justice and holiness here, but I love to give mercy. I'm slow to anger. I'm full of chesed. So God is that kind, that even in the people's lowest moment there as they're worshiping the golden calf, God is still willing to reach out back to them. So we say, wow, God, that kind of kindness, the kind of kindness that would lead to a second chance that big, not only do I get to experience that as one who's been redeemed by Jesus, but now I'm supposed to offer that to other people. That's the kind of kindness I should be practicing. Now, when we go a little further into the Old Testament, you can find the key words for this all over the place. And there's a few other Hebrew words you could also research out if you want to that would relate similarly to loving kindness and things like that. But if you just look for chesed, you see it all over the place in the Old Testament. Psalm 136 is a really interesting case. So turn there, and we're going to do something with this psalm that I think is actually what it was made to be. Psalm 136 is actually written to be a responsive reading where, you know, you might imagine somebody trumpeting out a truth and then everybody responds. So we'll do it. We'll try it. But I thought because we're practicing a little bit of Hebrew here, maybe we could give it a shot in the original language. All right. So if anybody speaks pure Hebrew here, we'll beg your forgiveness after this, but we're all gonna try it, right? Gotta say chesed. So everybody, one more practice. Chesed. Okay, now here's how this psalm is written. It gives a statement like, you know, God is great, and then it says in NLT here, it says his faithful love endures forever. Faithful love, chesed. So we're going to say his chesed endures forever. Are you ready? It's not hard. Now, as we go through, some of this, you're going to be like, wow, amen, these are great truths. And then it's going to get into a part where we don't know the context of what's going on, and it's sort of like there's some random people mentioned, and you know, we praise God for it, but we don't know a whole lot about those people. All right, but let's give it a shot. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who does mighty miracles. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His chesed endures forever. The sun to rule the day. His chesed endures forever. The moon and stars to rule the night. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. His chesed endures forever. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His chesed endures forever. He acted with a strong hand and a powerful arm. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. His chesed endures forever. He led Israel safely through. His chesed endures forever. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. His chesed endures forever. He killed powerful kings. His chesed endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his chesed endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his chesed endures forever. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance. His chesed endures forever. A special possession to his servant Israel. His chesed endures forever. He remembered us in our weakness. His chesed endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His chesed endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His chesed endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His chesed endures forever. When we think of that, we notice here the kindness of God. It's not all niceties, the way that we might whimsically think of kindness. I mean, he was kind in that he destroyed the enemies, right? And he fulfilled his promises. He was kind in that he was looking after his people in their darkest times and in their victorious times. And whatever's happening, you look up at the sky and you say, God, your whole creation and the way that you've sort of shepherded us through history, Lord, all of that just is testimony to how much loving kindness you show to us. So that's the Old Testament vision of God's kindness. The New Testament, of course, picks up on that theme and keeps going. And the Greek word here is Christates. And that would be kindness, and there's a, you know, there's kind of a root word that's a little shorter that would be kind, but this would be benevolence or, in essence, gentle care. So you might think of this as pointed at you personally, where if you're kind this way, it means that you're actually looking someone in the eye and caring about that person. And God does that for you and for I. That's why he sent Jesus. It wasn't just about caring for like the masses out there, it was personal care as well. All right, so Romans 2:4 uses this term. Can't you see that the Christates is intended to turn you from your sin? That is, as God is kind to you, that kindness that he's expressing is not, he's not being kind because you were already good. He's being kind to you in your mess to give you a reason to repent, to say it's supposed to be leading you to repentance, pulling you back toward the Father. So I think that's an amazing truth to think about, that in our darkest times, and sometimes even when we would be raising our own fist to say, no, God, I don't want to do it your way, he's still pouring out love and kindness back toward us. Okay, this is what Jesus was talking about in Luke 6 when he told the people that they needed to love their enemies. Remember, he gathers the disciples together, there are other people listening as well up on the mountaintop, and he says, pray for the people who persecute you. If you're good to the people who are good to you, well, I mean, anybody can do that. I'm telling you, love the person who hurts you. Somebody slaps you on one cheek, give them your other cheek as well. He says, in that way, as you're merciful like that, as you're kind like that, even to people who don't deserve it, even to the unthankful and the wicked, he says, that's when you're like God. Because that's how God treats all of us, with that level of kindness. So we say, Lord, wow, Old and New Testament, wherever we look, you're kind. You do all this that we don't deserve. So we receive his kindness. We say, thank you, God. We praise God for that. And then we step out and say, Lord, now as an agent of that kind of love, I want to be kind as well. I think there's more we could go. There's more we could learn here. But I thought, well, just kind of make a little profile of what does God's kindness look like. And there's so much to learn. But it's certainly undeserved. It's over the top. That is, it wasn't just God gave you like a word of encouragement or something. I mean, God gave his son. I mean, he gave everything. He's compassionate to us. He's familial. 1 John 3:1 says that it's like God lavished love on us by letting us be called his children. And that's amazing. It's very personal. It's very dependable. That, as we read in Psalm 136, that faithful love, it lasts forever. It's not, God isn't just kind one day, but you're kind of wake up the next day and go, I hope he's in a good mood. I hope he'll still be nice. Oh, God's kindness is consistent, dependable forever. So all of that leads us to a vision of how kind God is, the kind of love that you and I have received. And I was just trying to summarize all that. For me, as kind of a writer, I like to see if, can I get all that in a sentence? And it's sometimes you can take a big concept like this and go, there's too much to say. I don't know how to summarize it. Here's a little attempt to try to make this practical. God's kindness is the practical overflow of his loving care for you. So when you would sense something personal, like, wow, God is just so kind to me. Well, what are you saying? And it's like God's care for you is overflowing into some practical element of your life that you can see or feel or touch. So you see it in his faithful love, his surprise blessings, his fulfilled promises, his gracious second chances, countless joys that surround you spiritually and physically. It's all a sign that says God loves you. So you could go outside today and feel the warmth of the sun on your skin and just think about all the beauty of creation. You could say, Lord, thank you for your kindness. Or maybe you've really messed up something and you're depending on God's forgiveness and you're like, Lord, I thank you so much for giving me another chance, for not giving up on me, even though I'd given up on you. You interpret so many aspects of life, physical blessings and spiritual blessings, as direct gifts from God. And all of it says, I love you. So if that's true, say, well, how would we respond to that? If God loves us at that level? Probably a lot we could do or think or say or some way of praising God, worshiping God in the midst of all that. Here's a little summary to make it simple, maybe to go home and think about. How should we respond to the kindness of God? So first would be to kneel in repentance. Romans 2:4 says the kindness of God is intended to lead you to repentance. That's God is wanting you to walk with him. And so rather than, you know, some sort of punishment dynamic, he's saying, I'm being kind to you right now because I want you to come and follow me. So we say, Lord, thank you. I don't want to take advantage of that grace. I want to respond to it. I'm going to imitate God's merciful love, as Jesus said in Luke 6, and also as we read initially in Ephesians 5, that every part of our lives should be an imitation of God and his character. Never stop praising him. Psalm 145 talks about how you can praise God, you can sing to God, tell the stories of his goodness and greatness for all to hear, and then declare his kindness to people that you meet. to recognize, kind of like Terry talked about earlier in her story, how sometimes people just need to know that God loves them, that someone's looking out for them, that they're cared about. And you and I, we get to be the hands and feet and mouthpieces of Jesus to project that care to the world around us. And that's really what part of our church vision, right, is that as we're receiving love from God, we're sending that love out so that everyone around us can feel that touch of God's love as well, which leads us to our project for the week. All right, so we want to have some fun together, and this project isn't corporate in that you don't have to do it with another person. You can do it personally if you want to, but when we add up the impact of all of us doing it at the same time, this will make a big splash in our community, in the schools that we go to, the workplaces we're at, our neighborhoods, and even here among one another. Okay, here it is. Really simple. Your mission this week is to show surprise over-the-top kindness to someone. I say you could do it with your family as a group, you could do it with a friend, team up, or you could just do it personally and say, Lord, I'm ready to be proactively kind. I'm not going to wait for someone to have a problem. Like, this isn't Good Samaritan kindness where we're sort of ready to help. This is actually where we're looking for someone to bless. And here's how we might approach it. We'd say, well, is there someone that I could help with something or give them something, spend time with them, surprise them somehow? But don't just make this about you and your, like, just who comes to mind. Actually take a moment and pray and say, God, I would like to show your kindness to another person this week. Who is that and how should I do it? And just pray. There's no hurry. You've got all week to work on this, all right? So just pray, Lord, I'd be willing to be an agent of your over-the-top love and kindness. So I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm ready for my assignment. And I suspect if, you know, 400 people go out and do that this week in our small community, there's going to be a lot of people who are very surprised, who are very blessed this week by the love that you and I extend. All right, so who knows where that leads? Maybe other opportunities will come as a result. But I was thinking about how would it sound? Like, you know, sometimes, especially if you've not normally been somehow blessing the person that God ends up pointing you toward, what would you even say to them? Thought I'd give you a prompter here of like what it might sound like as you deliver whatever it is, the kindness that you're going to give. Okay, it might be this simple. Okay, just no reason to hide what we're doing here. Say we are talking about kindness. So you could say this: at church, we're talking about being kind to others the way God is kind to us. So I prayed about who might need an extra blessing this week, and he brought you to my mind. I hope you know how much God loves you. So if you'd be willing to say that or something kind of akin to that, you would be fulfilling this mission in a great way. All right, so I just want you to pray about it. Say, Lord, I'm willing. I'll be an agent of your blessing. Some of you might say, God, you're going to have to bless me somehow in order to bless somebody else. Great, you can say that. But I would say for all of us, we just start with a little seed of faith. Say, I recognize, Lord, in response to how much you love me, that I'm being sent to go love another person. And have some fun with it and see where the Lord takes you this week. All right, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray that all of us could have the courage to be kind, yes, to strangers, but I do recognize, and we'll talk about in some of the weeks ahead, how do we be kind to the people that are closest to us that sometimes are the more difficult ones to be nice to? We'll get there. Hope they'll give you a little bit of hope on that front. But for this week, we just want to trust God and say, Lord, I want to keep stepping forward in faith here. Continue to be proactively kind, see what God does. So Lord Jesus, here we are. Thank you for your chesed to us, that in our darkest, weakest, most sinful moments, you still reach out in love to us. And Lord, thank you so much for modeling for us the way of kindness and love. As we anticipate this week going forward as agents of your love and blessing to other people, I pray that you'd give us courage and creativity. Lord, I know, we all know, that around us, some in this room, and then certainly all around us in our community, there are people with deep, challenging needs. There are people who feel alone. There are people who are discouraged. There are people who are impoverished. There are people who, maybe even through circumstances not at all their fault, they're really struggling right now. Others, Lord, have had a lifetime of poor choices, and they're just now waking up to that, and they need someone to be kind the way that you're kind. And so, Lord, we pray for those people. We pray that you would use us in their lives to share your love, to be gracious. We look forward to walking forward in your footsteps. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.